Oh, gotta call Ben, gotta call Ben, gotta call Ben. Ben, gotta call him on the phone. Oh, it's late. It's late. I'm late. Sort of late. I'm kind of late. A little bit late for calling Ben. But I'm calling him, and it's gonna be any second now on the phone. He'll answer, and I'll be like, "Hey, Ben." That's how I'm gonna say it, and you're gonna hear it in just a second. If he picks up, which he should pick up. I hope he picks up. He should pick up. Why wouldn't he pick up? I don't know. Things have been going weird so far. Maybe that's something. It is Thursday. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's
Hey,
definitely Thursday.
Puggity.
Hey, Ben. Hey, what's going on?
Nothing, just reading about the Great Seattle Fire of 1889.
I didn't do it. I
No.
wasn't even alive
It started
then.
it's it I did not know this part, but it started, and this doesn't count as not knowing some, or looking something up, because I was reading it before the show started. But it started in the basement of a cabinet shop when a pot of glue boiled over, and igniting wood shavings below, at about on First Street between Marion and Madison, downtown Seattle. And yeah, after that, the whole downtown burned down. Well, when I say whole downtown, it basically obliterated downtown.
I know that there was a fire at one point in time in the International District that at least people in the International District who I spoke to felt was intentional
Oh,
at the
was
time.
this recent, or was this
Oh no. This is around that's what I thought you were going to be talking about, but it's not. So Ben, oh my gosh. It's starting already. This is unprecedented.
What's that?
Okay, I'm gonna hold the.
Oh,
I'm
jeez.
holding both of the earphones up to the
Oh my
microphone
God.
in the hopes that you can hear. And you probably can. This, I think, I should have done this the last
You
time.
did
I'm
it.
looking at the
Yeah,
meter.
you did it last time, and we could hear it.
Oh yeah, that's pretty loud.
I don't think he can hear me. Can you hear? You
Yeah, so
can't.
that's the sound.
You can't hear me, can you?
All right, I'm gonna call you
All
back,
right,
Ben.
he couldn't hear
It'll be
me.
just a second. So I'm in the process of calling
This is
Ben
gonna be
back.
a
I
fantastic
really
show
think
if
that you
this is
should
happening
probably be
all
able to hear that this
throughout
time.
the show. I
And
don't
I wonder
know,
if
actually,
maybe
but I'm guessing that
it's
this is
something
the
that's
longest
done by the
sustained phone
phone
call Paul
company
has every week,
when I talk on the phone too
being on the
long.
phone for an
That's
hour. It's
probably not true,
certainly
but it could
the
be.
longest
And
time I
Ben
ever
might
talked
be
on the phone
vamping
at
for
one time
time right
each
now. I
week.
don't know. I
In
would
some
be if
weeks,
I
it
were
is
Ben.
the only time I
But
talk
anyway,
on the
I'm calling him
phone
back, and this should be
with
nice.
my good friend Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben. So it happened again.
Yeah, so I hear.
This time, however, I was smart, and I held my earphones up to the microphone, so that you could hear
Right.
the noise.
So you can't.
Last time,
I can hear you.
sorry.
There's no sound on my end, but you cannot hear
Yeah.
me.
Yes, I cannot hear you at all.
Huh.
Well, I can hear you vaguely, but this sound is so loud, Ben,
Right.
so loud that I am unable to. I think, it may be something. I can't explain it. I still never looked it up. I really should
I was
to
guessing
see.
when you hung up to call back, I was guessing that this is the longest phone call I have every week, and I'm guessing it's probably for you as well. So the chances of your phone behaving that way during our call is amplified because it's a your phone is on. You're talking on the phone
Yeah,
for a long time.
I was speculating that maybe it's something the phone company does to get people to hang up and clear the line,
Now
but they're just not advertising it. So anyway, yeah, I'm calling you, and I'm really distracted, and here's why. Was I talking about getting a dog in the last podcast? I forgot.
Yeah, the last couple, you've mentioned that.
Okay, so we're close now. I actually got permission from the house I'm renting to have a dog.
Oh, okay.
So that's like, that was a step.
Right.
We needed to be sure that we all wanted one, and we all do. So
So anyway, I got that, and we had a dog kind of all lined up to get.
Yeah.
And then they found out that we don't have a fenced-in yard.
Right.
Which is weird, because that's a question they ask on the application.
And you
Jennifer filled out the application. I don't know if she...
And I'm assuming she said you did not have
didn't
a fenced-in.
Mention it. I think she mentioned it, and the person just didn't read it. I don't know. But anyway, so they weren't sure. They were going to check with their higher-ups. And let us know. But they didn't say when. They just said, don't give us the money, we'll let you know. And I also talked to them about, look, if this dog doesn't work out, you've met us now. We do want a dog.
Yeah.
You know, you have all these dogs that you take care of. Find one for us and we'll,
this,
you know.
Is this the...
We'll go meet them.
Like the Evansville Humane Society?
Yeah, like that. It's actually... a different organization. I'm not going to name them, just in case.
But it's not a breeder. It's not a pet store. It's someone.
No. It's a shelter.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. So anyway, the big thing is that no call today whatsoever.
I called,
left a message, and go, hey, just wanted to check and see what's going on, and the dog is now off their website. So. I can think of one of two things happening. One is that, you know, they're getting everything ready, but they don't want to call us yet until, you know, it's all good and we can come and pick the dog up. Or they've actually found somebody who they think is more, desirable for that dog.
Either of those are likely. One, I think, more so than the other one. Now, not having a fenced-in yard, was that a requirement for this specific dog or for any dog in general?
No. The dog that needed a fenced-in yard, for this specific dog, yes.
So they'll get you, you can get another dog without that requirement.
Yes. Yeah. The reason this one needed a fenced-in yard is very specific. Tends to, if you open the door, we'll try to run outside.
Yeah.
And so with a fenced-in yard, it wouldn't be able to get that far.
I mean, many houses do not have fenced-in front yards. And so even if you have a fenced-in backyard, if you open up the front door, say, to go to work, the dog's going to make a run for it. That'll happen
with
anybody.
I completely, I went through all of this and she went through all of that. it's not up to her apparently. And cause we also, I mean, there are these, enclosures you can get on Amazon. They aren't fences, but especially for little dogs, and this is a little dog.
Yeah.
You know, they're not bad. So, it's one of those things of it's going to show up. Something's going to happen.
Right.
And it'll all work out.
So is it,
but for right now,
is it possible
because it's not happening?
Is it possible that during our show today, you're going to get a call from the dog handler?
It is possible, but I'm not going to force it. You know, text the dog handler, call me now for the,
exactly.
You know, we'll see what happens.
You're not going to will it. What is that? The
no.
secret? If you think something good's going to happen, it's going to happen. There's
That's
a word
right.
for that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is. Like visioning
there's,
or something.
You know, there's another book. I believe it's called The Master Key System that was written in, I believe, the 40s, maybe even earlier.
Okay.
That the secret totally cribs from. it's kind of interesting.
You mean the secret isn't completely original? I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I was early to an appointment in Fremont today. Actually, the same sort of circumstance that led me to recording our show in the park the other day. But this was early enough in the day I felt okay coming back to the office because I need to go back to Wallingford tonight. But I was in I stopped into Theo Chocolate, which is right across the street from where I was heading. And because I had some time to kill, and I just thought I would buy a random chocolate bar because, you know, I hadn't eaten anything yet and it was noon. So why not chocolate for breakfast? And
I
picked up, and if you're going to eat a chocolate bar for breakfast, Theo Chocolate's really the best one.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And
I'm with you.
I they're selling a new brand of a new flavor of chocolates, root beer candy chocolate.
Root beer candy chocolate?
I posted about this on Facebook today, so to all of our listeners who are friends with me on Facebook, and I think both Jennifer, I mean, I know both Jennifer and Steven are, but I don't know who else is listening. It is the best thing ever.
Does the whole chocolate taste like root beer?
It is. So here's what it is. When I was buying it, you know, the lady's checking me out, and or the lady is, you know, taking my money, and I'm like, you know, I don't really like small talk, but she's like, "How's your day?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm fine, you know, whatever." Interested to see what root beer chocolate tastes like, and she says it's her favorite. It's not actually root beer flavored chocolate. What it is their standard 55% chocolate, which is really a light chocolate for a Theo.
Yeah.
And but it's that root beer candy, you know, the candy that's shaped like a barrel.
Oh yeah, sure.
Crunched up and mixed in with the chocolate.
Oh, that sounds
great. It really works. It tastes almost, it almost has the consistency of a Hershey Crunch bar. And
yeah,
because when she was telling me that there's pieces of crunched up chocolate, I thought that maybe it might be a terrible mouthfeel, for lack of a better term, because you got this like soft chocolate, but then you got these really hard spiky crunches in there. But it works. It really works. I've already eaten the entire thing.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
So for anybody,
I'm glad that you found that thing.
I know. I found something today that made me happy, and you know, that doesn't happen every day. But yeah, if any of our listeners are in or around the Seattle area, I don't know if they sell this in any of the stores. It might be an in-factory only chocolate. They have those. But
yeah,
the root beer barrel chocolate. Check it out. This ad, Theo is not a sponsor of the show, but I thought I'd give them some free publicity because it was so tasty.
Nice, nice. So on the equal time stage, this is Diet Tip by Paul. One of the problems with me sticking to this, I'm only eating, you know, mostly whole plants, you know, like an apple, an orange, a carrot.
Right.
You know, as opposed to foods made out of those things.
Right.
One of the hard parts is that I work in an office where people are really nice, and they bring in, like, donuts, and they bring in, you know, all sorts of really nice treats. And abstaining from the treats are very difficult.
Yeah.
And so I've hit upon a psychological thing that allows me to be okay with it. Even though it's for me, right? Even though they say, hey, this is food for everybody, the way that I deal with it is this. I say to myself, imagine I've gone to a house at somebody's birthday and there's a present sitting on the table. Now, even though that present is on the table and I could open it if I wanted to, I don't open it because I have self-control.
Exactly.
In the same way, I'm not eating this candy or these cookies or whatever because I have self-control. So far, it's been working out okay. And, you know, feeling good is nice. I like that.
Right.
But I have found a confound to this, and that's that I have a reputation in the office now. If you have any sort of health food stuff that you don't want, you can just give it to me and I will eventually eat it.
Yeah, that sounds like you.
Which is totally true. But here's the thing. It's branched out now to where it's not just health food. If anybody has any sort of food that they don't like, they'll try to get me to eat it. And if it's them asking me specifically to eat it, just the frugal nature of my own self and, you know, me wanting to make people happy and all that, I usually will. So that a couple of days ago, I ate some cheese curds from Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Which were good, you know. They tasted good. I liked them. But it also sort of made it so that I had almost no food left for the rest of the day, and it was at noon. And the reason is because the stuff that I eat, right, I have pretty full meals, pretty filling meals, but like I said, they're all, you know, plant stuff. And plant stuff, especially vegetables, pretty low in calories. So you can eat a bunch of carrots and not really make a dent. As an example, these cheese curds, right? In order to eat, in order to have that many cheese curds or whatever, or that many calories with carrots, I would have had to have eaten, like, imagine a large carrot, maybe about 7 inches, right?
Okay.
I would have had to have eaten about...
If the number is over 2, that's a lot of carrot.
Yeah, about 10.
Yeah, that's a lot of carrot.
10, probably. Yeah. So, you get the idea. It's like, oh, this small thing, I've just eaten it. Oh, wait, no. Because it's also a time thing. You know, there's the food, there's the, this is why I split it up into 4 meals. Now it's 4 meals of 300 calories each, by the way.
Okay.
Drop down. But still 4 meals, so if I'm hungry, I know I'm going to be eating again in a little bit.
Well, here's a question for you. When somebody in your office offers you food that they don't want, you know, because they're like, hey, give it to Paul. He'll eat. He's the Mikey of our office.
Yeah. That term was actually used, in fact.
Do you eat it right then and there, or do you save it for later? Maybe do you take some of it home?
Lots of times they sit there and watch me eat it. I feel like I'm getting set up to be pranked eventually. But yeah. I can save it for later. Or sometimes I'll eat part of it and go, ooh, boy, that's good. I'll have the rest later, that kind of thing. And I do have the rest later.
This isn't uncharacteristic of you. I don't know if you remember, but we did a performance piece after I got back from China where I bought a bunch of strange ethnic foods from Wajimaya and talked about, and we did a Spin the Bottle where I talked about my trip to China and showed slides. And then I fed you the weirdest food that I could find.
No,
that was Chinese,
I don't remember
in
that.
Origin. Oh, yeah. It was a long time ago. This was back in like 2005.
What did I eat, I wonder?
I don't know. I just bought some random stuff.
Wait, your trip to are you telling me your trip to China? Have you gone to China more than once?
Nope, that was the only one. 14.
So your trip to China was 14 years ago.
Yep.
Ben, 14 years ago. I am serious. I could have sworn that it was within the last 5 years. And then I remembered, wait a second. I haven't been to Seattle within the last five years. It's so weird.
Time flies, man.
The way time compresses in my head. Yeah. The other thing is, you know what planter's warts are?
Do I know what are?
Planter's warts?
Planter's
warts. I might
warts.
Be saying it wrong. Planter's warts, yeah. It's like P-L-A-N-A-R-S, maybe apostrophe S. Maybe it's named after somebody named Planters. Anyway, there are warts on your feet. They're very painful.
I have not heard of that term, but I have heard of painful foot warts.
there are these things, they're called Dr. Scholl's Clear Away. And what they are is, they're a small dot that you put on it, and then you put a larger disc-shaped Band-Aid over it. And then you leave it on for 48 hours, and then you take it off, and the skin underneath that small dot has died. And then you scrape it off, and then you start over, right?
I haven't seen that. Is it the same as a plantar fasciitis, or are those two different
definitions? Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay, because I knew that I'd heard that word at one point. No, is that something? Is that an affliction that you are currently dealing with?
So yeah, I have a lot right now.
Oh really?
And I'm dealing with them. But the thing that I find interesting about it is that you could just over the counter buy something that'll kill your skin. It seems like that isn't something that you should just be able to get, but you can.
Does it kill only wart skin, or if you put it on a piece of healthy skin, are you going to cause some damage?
You could cause damage to healthy skin because it damages the healthy skin around it.
Oh, I see.
So it's I'm never going to take pictures of it and share it with you, but it's kind of crazy. It's one of these, you know, I don't feel bad about doing it, but in a way it's sort of self-destructive and self-surgery kind of things. It's kind of interesting.
So does it hurt to walk?
It hurts to walk before I have these on.
Uh-huh.
With these on, it's not bad. I bought a whole bunch of cushioned socks a while back with lobsters on them. By the way, The Lobster, pretty good movie. I don't want to spoil anything, but I liked it. It's weird, but then again, you know, what isn't? But yeah, so I've got these things on, and the thing is, I don't know exactly. So it kills the skin, and I guess you scrape it off, but I don't know exactly if I'm doing it right. The directions are pretty vague, and so this is the thing. It says put the disc on, put the Band-Aid over it, and then it says repeat every 48 hours as necessary.
Okay.
Now, this is the hard part that I don't know. Am I supposed to how long do you keep it on? It seems from what I've read, you know, of those directions, you keep it on 48 hours.
Yeah, that's what I would assume based on what you do, based on those directions.
And then you take them off and then you put a new one on.
You just replace it. Because I'm assuming after 48 hours, it's no longer effective. So you got to re-up.
And so then I started reading user reviews of it. And it's kind of amazing. Because some people are like, I couldn't get this to stay on for 48 hours. Another person saying, I got to stay on 48 hours. If, for those of you who say you can't get it to stay on, have you thought about using tape? Come on. Don't be dummies. You know,
like, will it stay on if you take a shower?
So this is what I'm going to say. On the Dr. Scholl's forums, right?
Yeah.
There is a divide between the people who say these things stay on no matter what, and if you can get them to fall off, you're dumb. And the people who are saying, I put these on and they immediately fall off. They don't stick at all. I found one guy who was complaining that they didn't work and then realized that he wasn't putting the little disc on. He was just covering the things with the Band-Aids, which of course won't work. But it's kind of amazing, and this led me to ask you this question, Ben.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What brand of underwear did you wear when you were growing up?
I don't know. I want to say Fruit of the Loom.
Okay. Question number two.
Yeah.
Describe the Fruit of the Loom logo to me.
There's like purple grapes, there's a red apple, it's like three or four fruits. I think maybe a pear and some cherries are in there.
Okay.
I could not give you an accurate description, except it's a illustrated fruit.
Okay. What you have not said, and this is important, is that there is a cornucopia that the fruit is coming out of.
Is there?
No. There isn't.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I remember there being a cornucopia that the fruit comes out of.
Yeah.
And not only that, a bunch of people do. This is one of those Mandela effect things crazy.
I want to say that the cornucopia and the fruit, because I can see that, but I'm wondering if that's not Fruit of the Loom, if that's some other fruit-based logo.
Maybe. Because here's the thing. Somebody drew the Fruit of the Loom logo with the cornucopia.
Yeah.
And they drew exactly what I see in my head when I think of it.
Yeah, I can see it too.
So yeah, maybe there's another logo and people just...
You know what? It's also possible that they rebranded at some point.
Yeah, and that's the thing, but on the company's website, they have a timeline of their logo.
Yeah.
And the cornucopia is never in it.
You did some research on this.
It was one of those things of like, and this is the great thing about Paul in 2019, Ben. In the grand scheme of things, What does it matter?
Does this have anything to do with the Dr. Scholl's Band-Aids, or have we just switched tracks?
The reason I was thinking about it is because people were arguing about whether or not there was ever a Cornucopia.
On the Dr. Scholl's message boards?
No, on the Fruit of the Loom. I was thinking about message board arguments. Sorry. Hey, it's time to play Connect the Dots with Ben Lawrence. With Paul Goody's conversations. You know, Ben, you have to admit, it has gotten better, right? I mean, I'm more lucid than I was, right?
Yeah. No.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God. That is a little bit too big of a pause,
I think having a stable job, a stable, consistent job where you have to think logically has helped.
Yeah, I think so. It's probably so.
Instead of, like, you know, hanging out with a bunch of crusty electricians with only your thoughts to yourself all day.
Oh yeah, and I gotta say,
that job did provide for some interesting stories.
I feel as though, like I said, if I were doing that job with the people I am working at this job, I think I'd be able to handle stuff okay. but also the fact that I am skilled at writing stuff. As far as they're concerned, and that's good. Whereas when I was doing the electrician stuff, everybody didn't like me.
Right. Because you didn't know what you were doing.
Like, oh no, this guy. Right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That job is not okay. If all I was doing was wiring up, like, my house, I was doing a great job. But for a large construction project, they do not want you to be meticulous.
They want you to go fast.
They want you to go fast.
Yeah.
And the meticulousness is good, but it's not good if you're super slow about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would assume that's just something you get faster at over time. So they don't
probably
like people learning on the job, I guess.
The other thing about learning on the job is that a lot of people in that trade had been working construction just generally, and then they moved into it.
Right.
And there is a skill of working on a construction site, just basically, that they had that I didn't have.
Yeah.
And that's like moving around people, making sure that, you know, you've done all of your checks, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, if you're moving a ladder, make sure the ladder isn't going to bang into the top of the doorway. Obvious stuff for anybody who hasn't, you know, just started carrying 10-foot ladders that day.
Right.
Or whatever. They often say in vaudeville, the great thing about it was it gave you a place. I think it was George Burns who said that vaudeville gave you a place to be lousy. and the problem with Hollywood is that you can't be bad, for a while, because everybody's going to see your stuff on movies and things like that.
Yeah.
Movies and TV, everybody sees it. Whereas in vaudeville, you might be in a room with 10 people.
Right.
And I think that's why you and I did so well with Spin the Bottle. I was talking to Jennifer. We don't have a place where we can try stuff out around here. That culture just isn't there that I know of.
That you know of. I'm sure there's something in St. Louis.
Yeah, maybe. We talked about it. Not that we know of. There used to be.
Yeah.
Back. With the nonprofits, which was the improv/sketch comedy group, I could try stuff out. Kind of like, I mean, it was very similar to what we got to do with Goody Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, I had a piece called Consumerism Meets Death, where I had two things that I had bought, and people would decide which one would live and which one would die. And then I'd smash the thing on stage.
Yeah.
And it was great. People loved it. And even though you weren't there, Ben, the spirit of you, I feel, was there, because it really was something that would have fit into our repertoire. So that was a place. If I wanted to do something like that on stage now, I have no idea where I would be able to go and do it, though.
Yeah.
Well, plus in this day and age, Ben.
You know what that means, Paul? You have to start something.
Oh God, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Does Evansville have a theater?
Are you calling it Evansville, by the way, Ben?
I am calling it Evansville.
It's Edwardsville.
I don't care. Does your town?
It's named after a guy named Edwards, not Evans.
Edward was a jerk. Evan was nicer. Anyway.
Although Evan is my next door neighbor, and he's very nice.
Does your town, does Edwardsville have a theater? Or maybe like a stage of some sort?
So what Edwardsville has...
You got a college,
the student
there.
Experimental, the Laurie Metcalf Student Experimental Theater.
Laurie Metcalf is from Edwardsville?
She is indeed.
Wow.
She's from Edwardsville, Illinois. And so, yeah, I actually had a thought of going back and getting my bachelor's degree so that I could go to SIU and teach, so that I could start an improv group at the university, rather than going to St. Louis to do stuff at the other place, because it's not the right fit for me. The other place, it's very much a late night crowd and everything. I want improv that you can do at like 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and then go home and go to bed.
Right.
It just doesn't exist. Speaking about just not existing, do we have corrections today, Ben?
You know, it's funny. I looked it up and it looks like we do.
Hey, what do you think? Is now a good time to do it?
Sure, why not?
Okay, hey, ladies and gentlemen. Do you like the fact that Ben and I don't look anything up? We sure do. And in fact, that's kind of the part of the podcast. At one point in time, I determined that we'll be relying more and more on searching to get our information and thinking that we were smart because we were able to look stuff up. But guess what? Times are coming when maybe they're going to take that away from you. Then where are you going to be? You're going to be dumb. You got to learn to remember things. And that's why we take an hour out of every week to use our brains and try to remember stuff. But because of that, sometimes we get things wrong, and that's where you, the listener, can write to us at Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com and tell us what we did wrong. And hey, if you don't listen to the podcast, you can't do that. And maybe you listen to the podcast and you don't do that. But guess what? Doesn't matter. We've got a ringer, the best researcher in the world, my wife, Jennifer Fact Checker, who has provided us with something that we like to call corrections.
Ding. Ding.
And that's where she listens to our podcast and tells us what we got wrong or what we could get more right or whatever. So, Ben, what do we get for this time?
Well, last week we were talking about the fish that you buy in a tin. And I was wondering if anything can be canned that is alive and can survive until you open it back up.
Yes.
And
I remember I went on a big tear about how, Jennifer, this is probably the weirdest thing that we've ever asked you of. And I know for a fact, because she talked to me in the car, she said, "You just weren't thinking about it right," is what she said to me.
All right, well, just...
Does she say anything like that in her response?
Well, let me just read it to you. Because this is the only thing that she sent.
Sorry, everybody.
The proverbial can of worms does exist. Some survive and crawl out, but there is no promise that they will, in fact, be live when used, thus are not marketed as live bait. Jellyfish and live bait are usually packaged in plastic tubs and are packaged on-site a day or less before sale. So, It's more of along the lines of tackle, bait and tackle for fishing. But I think that's what I was thinking of when I was thinking of foodstuffs that are packaged in live form, because I remember buying, you know, a can or, you know, worms on the way to the fishing hole, and they were still alive when you got to the fishing hole.
But were they, what kind of packaging were they in?
It wasn't a sealed package. It was like a styrofoam cup.
Oh, well, yeah, but I see what she, I mean, the thing is, I wouldn't eat those worms, Ben. I for sure wouldn't. I wouldn't eat a worm. I don't think. I never have. I've eaten ants before.
When I was a teenager, we used to feed our friend insects.
Which friend was this?
It's my friend Ben.
Wait a second. That's confusing.
I know. There were two Bens in our friend group.
I only know
of
one friend, Ben, and I'm talking to him. So this friend, quote unquote,
it's mostly
Ben,
when we were playing poker, and if he ran out of money, we'd be like, all right, I'll give you 20 cents if you eat this crane fly. And he's like, okay. And then he would eat it.
And were you playing poker outside?
No, we weren't. We were playing in the garage.
Oh, so there was a crane fly in the garage.
Yeah, we didn't have to go far to find insects to, to feed over.
Now
we
let me ask a question. This crane fly. On it.
What's that?
Was it alive? The crane fly.
We would catch it. They're not
hard
to catch.
Did you say we were dumb kids smoking bat guano?
No, we were dumb kids back then.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe that was a colloquialism that I didn't know about.
Nope.
Because I could see some kids going, hey, man, if you smoke bat guano, you get totally...
I don't think we'd know how to find bat guano.
Oakland has legalized...
mushrooms?
Magic mushrooms. Yeah. And it said Oakland is the second city, but they didn't mention what the first city was. And I'm wondering if you, Ben Lawrence, know what that first city was. Because I don't.
I do not either. I remember hearing about a place that legalized magic mushrooms. I want to say it's like, I thought maybe that Colorado was thinking about legalizing.
Oh, you know what? I think it might have been Colorado. But here's the thing. Colorado might be legalizing it. Oakland has simply decriminalized it.
Right.
So it's still illegal by state and government.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
If they've decriminalized magic mushrooms, psilocybin.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they've also decriminalized marijuana. Because it's the gateway decriminalizing drug.
You would think
I
so.
Think,
that's right.
I think weed is legal in California. Anyway.
Yeah.
These substances are decriminalized. How many people are still in prison because they were selling weed or caught with with mushrooms?
There are people who suggest, and I am one of these people, because I think it would be right. Now, you know me, I'm not a weed guy, but I'm a fairness guy. And the suggestion is that anyone who is in prison for selling weed right now should be exonerated.
Yeah.
And receive startup money to start their own weed selling business.
Or at least get back on their feet. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Legal weed is a billion-dollar business.
But now, of course, the lawful neutral guy in me is like, It's legal now, but it wasn't legal then, and they broke the law back then, so that's why they're still in jail, because...
All right, so they broke the law back then, and they served their time while the law was still in effect. But now that the law no longer is in effect, I mean, there's got to be some sort of legal precedent for that, right?
Right. It seems only fair to me, Ben, that you should let those guys go for that. Although the one other thing that you think about, right? If you made somebody else, let's say you make cheese illegal, right?
Yeah.
People are going to start selling cheese as criminals. And all of a sudden, this is the crazy thing, right? A cheese salesman, right? If you hear that someone is a cheese salesman, you're going to be like, uh-oh, this is a bad dude. Because he's in the cheese trade. That's the crazy thing about something becoming illegal is that, you know, if you're a criminal type of person, you might, you know, go towards that that thing.
Yeah.
Right? And that is where I believe if you were a strict law and order person, you could get away with going, oh, well, they should still be in there because they weren't attracted to the substance itself. They were attracted to the illegality and the lifestyle, and we let them go. You know what I mean?
Would just,
like,
yeah.
I think that would be...
I would just like for those people to watch Ken Burns' documentary on prohibition, which talks about how all these law-abiding, normally law-abiding citizens broke the law by buying and selling alcohol during prohibition.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you are a right-wing think tank... And you want to fight the argument that the people who are in prison should stay in prison, don't use my argument. That's not nice. I didn't give you permission to do that. Although, to be fair, I was thinking along your lines. So,
speaking of people in prison who shouldn't be.
Oh, no.
Who's
in prison?
I just watched the Netflix series When They See Us. Have you heard of this?
Oh yeah, it's a dramatization, right?
It is a dramatization of the Central Park 5.
Park 5. Yeah.
I did not know that. I thought it was a documentary, and so I sat down thinking it was just going to be like a dry but fascinating documentary because I heard it's talks about how Donald Trump wanted to reinstitute the death penalty and called for the death penalty for these five kids. Isn't he such a racist?
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. Boy, it is so much more, though. It is a dramatization. It is four episodes. I started watching it at like 9 o'clock on like Monday night, and I didn't stop until I finished it. I was up until about 2:30 a.m. because I needed to finish watching it. And it is hard to watch at times, especially the first episode.
Okay.
But it's written and directed by Ana DuVernay, who recently signed on with Tom King to write a New Gods movie.
A new what?
The New Gods from Jack Kirby.
Tom
Kirby and Ana DuVernay are going to write the movie.
She did... Well, I don't know if she did. There's a director who is going to direct it. And that's what I was thinking of, not the writer. I was thinking of a director.
I
don't know if there's...
That story is one of the things we are going to be talking about tonight on the Perfect Bound podcast.
Oh, the New Gods?
Specifically these two people teaming up to write it.
The last I had heard, the woman who directed the Wrinkle in Time movie, was going to be directing the New Gods movie. I don't know if she still is or not. But the thing I remember thinking about is, her vision of A Wrinkle in Time is not my vision of Wrinkle in Time. My vision of Wrinkle in Time, it's all grays. It's all like dingy and all that. And I realized that it might be because of the cover of the book when I saw, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, her stuff was all bright colored and super fantastical and stuff. And when I heard she was going to do the New Gods, I was like, that's going to be amazing. Because if you take her visual style, what she did for A Wrinkle in Time, and imagine the New Gods in that style, it's going to be...
Well,
amazing.
I don't know if Ava DuVernay is going to be directing it, but she is a director. So,
she is a director.
Well, she directed When They See Us. She wrote and directed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm wondering if we're talking about the same person.
It's probably the same person. I don't know what else she's done. I didn't really pay attention to.
Unfortunately, I don't know this director's name. But
Ava DuVernay or Ava. I don't know how it's pronounced.
I'm gonna bet it's probably the same person because she's really talented. I know that for a fact. And it was one of those things that I was able to appreciate. I didn't watch her A Wrinkle in Time, but I was able to appreciate the fact that she did it in a way that she wanted to.
Yeah.
Which, again, is something that I think we need to get with when we talk about movies and things like that. View them like we view theater. You know, it's never going to be the exact thing that we want.
Yeah.
You know, accept it as, you know, that person's vision.
Speaking of When They See Us, I've been noticing a lot of renowned memes about Robert De Niro lately from my right-wing friends. And Robert De Niro, he's an outspoken Democrat, right? He's very anti-Trump administration. He had a speech at some awards ceremony. I don't remember which one. Probably like the Oscars or the Golden Globes or something. And but it's just like out of nowhere, I've seen my two, you know, super right-wing friends on Facebook post these memes about. Here's Bob, you know, Bob pretends for a living. And then something about how, like,
don't be like Bob.
Don't be like Bob, but I can't remember the point of it. I can't remember, like, what he actually said or what they were saying because I just scrolled right past it. Okay. But Robert De Niro is a co-producer on When They See Us, and which is very, it's very critical of Donald Trump and makes fun of him a lot. And so I'm like, all right.
Is he a character in the...
No, he's not.
Okay.
Trump or De Niro?
Trump. Is somebody playing him in the film?
Well, here's the thing. They use actual footage.
Oh. that's got to be a problem.
Yeah.
I'm betting.
So, Robert De Niro's a co-producer or co-executive producer on the TV show. And so, the right-wing hate machine... Or maybe, I don't know, the Russians or the Chinese.
Oh, man. That's another thing. Again, the reason I have this flirty relationship with Twitter where I go on and then I leave again all the time is I can sense... Ben, I'm going to sound crazy here.
For once.
And I apologize. But I can sense kind of when agendas are being pushed. They feel like ripples to me. They feel like tides. They feel like, you know, that sort of thing. And it pains me to see people falling for things like that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how often it happens. I like dealing with people as people because there's a good chance I can ask them questions about it and see where their mind's really at. Like I explained at one point in time to somebody recently. You have somebody who is anti-illegal immigration.
Yeah.
They don't like illegal immigrants. You know, they're really a hard stance on that. If somebody were to shoot an illegal immigrant, like shoot a child who's an illegal immigrant, though, they wouldn't feel good about it. And they're like, no, of course not.
Right.
And then it's like, if somebody who did that was on an anti-immigration website and talking about how they were going to do that, and nobody said anything to stop them or say, no, that isn't right, would any of them be at fault? And we were like, no, you know, that's the person who pulls the trigger. It's their thing. And then I said, okay, if somebody was complaining about illegal immigration and someone said, yeah, somebody ought to go and shoot them, and then somebody went and shot them, would they be culpable at all? And again, we got to that point of like, no, it's still even, even that I was like, but would the person who said that ever be able to sleep at night? And he was like, probably not. You know, if you, and that's kind of what the movie The Fisher King is all about.
Yeah.
But I've reminded myself of something, Ben.
What's that?
And I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. And if I have said this on the podcast, I apologize. Did I talk about the Allies getting back together?
The Allies getting back together.
Though we're getting the band back together narrative.
For are we talking like World War II style Allies?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
This is Paul Goody's huge world politics prediction. Brexit happens.
Yeah.
Boom. Right? Great Britain is no longer part of the European Union. Great Britain, the United States, and Russia all have a press conference together.
Oh, God.
Saying, hey, we were the heroes of World War II. Now we're going to make the world good again, working together. And
make Earth great again.
Donald Trump, what's his name? Boris Johnson. Johnson and Vladimir Putin are going to form an alliance and do stuff, and it's going to be crazy.
Boris Johnson or Nigel Farage. That's my prediction.
Nigel Farage? I don't think that would happen.
He's a big Brexit promoter as well.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
John Farage?
Wait, is Nigel Farage? He's not.
He's the dude that got milkshaked.
He's not the labor guy, is he?
No.
Who's the labor
guy?
Jeremy
Corbyn, I think, is who you're thinking of.
Okay, all right. That's who I was thinking of. Okay, yeah. I don't know Nigel Farage.
No, Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage and Boris Johnson were the
big
Brexit
whoever. Whichever the Brexit guys there are.
I can see that. I can totally see that. And, you know, they call themselves the Allies, but, like, you know, everything's flipped now.
Yep, exactly.
We're in a bizarre world.
And this is why I think, and I know this sounds weird, but I think the roots of this started before Donald Trump became president. I think it started with the TV show The Americans, which started to get us sympathizing with Russia, and then it moved on to Chernobyl. Again, Russian people with British accents. It's all getting ready for us to see, and plus, what better PR than we were the good guys in World War II? I'm telling you, they should do it if they aren't doing it. But it's totally evil, so they shouldn't do it.
I don't think that's
good. But I think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. However, I would like to believe that Boris Johnson's not going to become prime minister.
They said he was the front runner.
Anyway.
That's all. I mean, I haven't paid attention too much, but that was the thing.
I haven't heard that part. I read that the Russians are upset with HBO and Sky over the popularity of the Chernobyl TV show.
Really?
Because it doesn't put the Russian government, or at that time the Soviet government, in a very positive light. And so they're going to create their own TV show about the Russian Chernobyl disaster. And the main part of this TV show, I just read this today, I think it's from AV Club, and this TV show is going to purport that the reason Chernobyl exploded was because it was infiltrated by American spies.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a thing that the AV Club reported on. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but you too could go to the AV Club website and read this article.
Man, speaking about you two going to the AV Club, and have you heard of Botnik?
Botnik.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, so Botnik is a thing that I've just started really liking.
Is this predictive text thing? Yeah, we've actually had those people here at Annex. They were guests at Weird and Awesome.
What?
That's why I know
that. Are they from Seattle, or were they just passing
through? The main
guy
used to write for Clickhole, but now he lives in Seattle.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, they've actually performed here.
Because I love it. It's great. It's one of my favorite things now. And it's not total AI. It's predictive text, which is sort of AI, but you know what I mean? It's not like you press a button and it comes up with it.
Yeah.
So, but I've been writing stuff. And Ben, if you'll indulge me,
bring it.
I am going to read. So what I did was I fed their Botnik writer, the Brothers Grimm, all of the Brothers Grimm, stuff, all of their fairy tales.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've come up with a short fairy tale that I will now read. It is called The Old Woman.
And this has been laundered through the Botnik machine, right?
Yes. Okay. The Old Woman. Once upon a time, there was a widow who had two daughters. They slept in 12 beds, all in one room, amongst the broken glass of the window above. The little house was close by a great forest, where the leaves were all of silver. One day, as they were going through the dark gate with their plump and rosy cheeks, they were forced off the path. The old woman hid herself beneath a leaf, and the young daughters lay down on the grass. The old woman was still as a mouse and had gone very little. The old woman was as still as a mouse and was done very little. Oh my God!
This is a weird fairy tale.
Okay, the old woman was as still as a mouse and had done very little while she saw a lonely man of the wood that was turning about with a goose upon his back. Her daughters were standing together before him and began to cry. "I should be very angry at this sight," said the man. "What is the matter?" "My mother's house is so heavy," said the first daughter. "She is ill." "My mother will be a dainty morsel," said the second daughter. "What is to become of us?" The man of the wood fell down on his knees before them. "I will give you good counsel," he replied. "You must be very careful with her skin, but if the old woman is snoring, she is only a dream." The old woman crept towards him and scratched his face with her long, bony fingers. "My darling mate, open the door to thy true love. Here is a piece of bread." The two daughters danced with his goose, and there was a loud scream as he saw that the old woman had eaten him up. When they came back, they were frightfully angry and grumbling.
The end?
That kind of works. That's it. The end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
Speaking of the end.
This is the end.
My only friend, the end.
Hey,
our beautiful friend. Hey, Betty, what's up, man?
Don't gender your daughter.
Oh, my God. Hey, don't you gender my daughter. So what's up, Betty?
Nothing much.
Okay.
Nothing.
So guess where Betty is going on Monday, I think.
To the dentist.
Going to summer camps.
She's going to a summer camp.
Oh, fun.
Specifically, an acting summer camp.
Even better.
Because I want to know how to act and stuff.
She got bitten by the acting bug.
It is. Oh, and that's contagious. Is it?
Exactly.
Is it an overnight camp?
That? No, it's not an overnight camp. I don't know how long it is. It's somewhat of a time. It's somewhat of a time, Ben. That's all I know. I think that everything I say is predictive text. Now that I think about it.
Predictive text is one of those things I did not turn on my phone.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. I love it. But I hate it also. I was going to make a predictive text Oswald and Riddler thing, but Betty told me that I was not allowed. So I didn't.
Betty's an Oswald and Riddler gatekeeper.
She is an Oswald and Riddler gatekeeper, yes. I'm not allowed into her fandom.
Is she still in the room, or has she gotten rid of us?
Stop? Oh, I see.
Oh my gosh. Ben, I want to tell you what Betty said, but I can't.
It sounded like she said, can you stop?
No. What she said earlier today.
Oh.
I can't do it.
Ah.
Well, we were talking about... I'll tell you what we were talking about. I was saying that if people were going to legalize marijuana, they should call it something else, like freedom weed. and then somebody else, Jennifer, said that she couldn't remember what it was, but somebody was saying they shouldn't call them assault rifles. They should call them freedom rifles.
Yeah. I think I may have even heard
and
that.
And then... And then, Betty, should I say it or should I not say it?
Yeah, I'll say it.
Okay, wait. And then, oh, yeah.
Dad brought up the topic of abortion.
Oh, God.
You know, very relevant at the time. And me, you know, thinking, because, like, I don't really know about any of this. I said, freedom murder.
and it's horrible, but it, and I said, Betty, you're an edgelord. Because, Ben?
Yeah.
Did you hear what she said?
Freedom murder?
Oh my gosh, Ben, you said it. Ben said it.
Oh,
Ben
no.
said it. You're the bad one now, Ben.
All right, well, the problem is the people labeling
also,
everything freedom are the people on the other side of the abortion argument.
Well, that's the idea, is that you call it that. You use their own wording against them, Ben.
Just for the record,
it's subversive.
I'm not really for or against abortion.
Oh.
I just kind of was.
Betty
about
is
it.
Switzerland. Jeez. In this case.
Abortionland.
Betty didn't hear it.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
What did he say?
Oh, nothing. No, it was
what
no,
did
it was
he
nothing.
Say?
No.
Tell her after
tell
we...
me.
Here,
that.
I'm gonna put it.
Look,
here.
It looks like our time is up.
So it looks like we're gonna have to get going, Betty.
What did you
Betty.
Say, Ben?
Your dad'll tell you when we're off the air.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you all later.
Keep it wrong, everybody.
Hey, wait, are we out of time though? Wait a second. Are we out of time, Ben? Are you just no? We're not out of
we
time.
We are out of time. It's over
what
an hour.
What did he say?
What? Oh, we have? Oh, right, because I hung up and I called you back.
Yeah.
All right, see you later. Keep it wrong, everybody.
Keep it wrong. I'll talk to you later.
All right, talk
Bye.
To you later.
Bye.
Okay, hung up.
What did he say?
I'll tell you in a second.